La buena noticia ha llegado. Ha llegado.
The good news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello everyone, welcome to our program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones, who with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program, as we're going to continue talking about the millennium life. And today we're going to be talking about Satan being bound. So you don't want to miss today's program. We'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family, those of you that are following us on social media. And get your Bibles ready, as we're going to continue in this amazing journey looking at the life in the millennium. But before I continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host to the program, Nathan Jones, and he's going to open us up with a word of prayer.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to study your word, and particularly, Lord, the book of Revelation that teaches us about your millennial kingdom and many other passages in the Old Testament, Lord, where we will finally dwell with you and see you face to face. Lord, we long for that time. We thank you for everybody tuned in, and we just pray that as we study this, they too will be excited about your kingdom. And Lord, may that come soon. In your precious and wonderful name, amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, we're going to be looking at the millennium life and looking at the bounding of Satan. So stay tuned for the program. But before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host of the program, Nathan Jones. Nathan, another amazing week.
Another amazing week. Although I think my name was besmirched this past week. Did you hear about the Nathan Jones who tried to take over an airplane?
Oh no, please fill me in. That will be our Bible prophecy update.
I'm crazy. I think he was 19 years old. He was taking flying lessons, and for some reason he thought that let him in the club. So he was on an airline, and he kept knocking on the cabin door because he wanted to go in with the pilots. Three times he tried, and each time finally he had to be arrested. So all over the news, Nathan Jones tries to take over a plane. I'm like, no, that wasn't me.
Oh, no. See, that's where it counts to say Nathan E. Jones.
There you go. Yeah, that's why I throw that E in there. Not to be confused with Nathan Jones, the giant 7-foot-tall Australian wrestler. I don't think the two of us have been confused, no.
Well, one thing you and I have in common, and that is that people confuse us for wrestlers, because people confuse me with Victor Batista, the wrestler, and Nathan E. Jones. Maybe we should get into wrestling.
They probably wonder if you're related to Dave Batista.
I know. Well, for our listening audience, please do not confuse Nathan with anybody trying to hijack a plane. That's not what he does. He's a great evangelist.
Right. And I'm pretty sure Vic's side gig is not in professional wrestling.
That indeed. Well, Nathan, the reality is there's a lot of things going on in the world. And really, we're living in the last days, as we see so many signs of the times, including the behavior of people, Nathan, the society, how the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy how things will be. And we're just seeing that all throughout the news. It's almost like people are losing their senses anymore.
Yeah, well, if you go through Romans 1 and it tells you about how people descend into sin and it grows worse and worse to the point where they can't even think straight anymore. I just heard yesterday that our own Congress here in the United States is raising the debt ceiling on an average of every 100 days, another $1 trillion. And they estimate in the next 10 years will be $19 trillion more in debt. They're spending twice what we're bringing in taxes and all. It's insanity, man. It doesn't make sense. And the only way it makes sense is when you read the Bible, you read Romans 1 and other passages, is that when people fall into sin, their minds go and they just can't think straight anymore.
How sad, Nathan. How sad indeed, because the United States of America is a great country, still has a lot of wonderful things. And I believe due to the Christians that are praying and making a difference. But outside of that, everything is out of control. And you and I know that this can only be leading to one place, and that is, of course, the downfall of our wonderful country. And we believe the power is going to be switching to Europe. And I believe, Nathan, the solution that people are going to look to, as you and I know, in the future, is going to be to the Antichrist. But it's really sad the condition of the world globally today.
And that's what the beauty is. We've been going through the series on the millennial kingdom, is that the Lord promised through the dream that he gave Nebuchadnezzar, actually two different dreams, but the one in Daniel 2, where the time of the Gentiles, in other words, Gentile rule over the world, would eventually come to an end when Jesus, at his second coming, defeats evil, destroys failed, flawed human government, and sets up his 1,000-year kingdom of peace and righteousness that will then go on past that into the eternal state. And so that's what we've been focusing on. And so as crazy and insane as this world is, we know there's a much better one coming, right, Vic?
Oh, absolutely, Nathan. Not only that, but the wonderful thing that we can look forward to is, you know, one of the greatest joy as we speak about the millennium is for those living in it, of course, in their natural bodies, that that they will not have to deal with Satan, because Satan will be bound. And that's what we're going to talk about, is the binding of Satan, that individual that causes so much problems to the world today. And Nathan, as we speak about the binding of Satan, you and I wrote this amazing book called The Mighty Angels of Revelation. And one thing I have to say, Nate, you did a great job speaking there about the jailer angel in our book, page 349. And it has a great opening to Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, to speak about the binding of Satan. And Nathan, I was wondering, maybe we can open by me reading a little bit of that, just in case someone listening maybe wants to get a hold of our book and maybe have that as a resource.
Absolutely. Well, Vic and I, as we've been teaching through The Truth Will Set You Free a number of years ago through the book of Revelation, that we then ended up blogging it, and I think an 88-part series by the time we were done. And then, according to our founder, Dr. David Reagan, he says, hey, that would make a great book. So that's what we did. We put it into a book, and for the last few years, it's, The Mighty Angels of Revelation has been very successful at teaching people two things. One, eschatology about the end times, and two, angelology about how the 72 angels or groups of angels found in the book of Revelation are, you know, they're working behind the scenes as the Lord guides them. So you get kind of a two-for-one deal there. You get eschatology and you get angelology. But folks can find out that, find that book on our website at christinprophecy.org. Of course, we offer it on Amazon as a Kindle and Apple Books and all the other, quite a lot of platforms. My wife is very busy putting our books up on various platforms. And now, Vic, get this. So now that AI can create such realistic sounding reading, our book just this past week is now an Audible book on Amazon's Audible. So praise the Lord, he's getting the word out through this book.
That is amazing, Nathan. I love that. And for those of you that are part of this program, we'd love for you to get a hold of the resource. Nate and I, we get a lot of wonderful feedback. And that's why it's going on various platforms, so that it could be a great blessing to you as well. So Nathan, with that, would you be able to open us up by reading Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, just in case someone doesn't have a Bible, so they can follow along with us?
Absolutely. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the keys to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while.
Nathan, I love that intro. Again, as we reference our book, The Mighty Angels of Revelation, there in page 352, you included there an amazing interlude. And I just want to read this paragraph. Arthur T. Pearson once described an encounter he had with a new convert to Christ, one who had approached him telling of a strange dream he had the night before. The man dreamed that he had been trapped down a very deep well. From the bottom of that well, he could look up through the opening into the night sky to behold a single shining star far above him. Oh, the star seemed to let down lines of silver light that took hold of him and lifted him up. As long as he kept his eyes locked on the distant star, the man rose up out of that well, until finally he stood rescued, feet firm upon the ground. Pearson believed the man's dream made for an excellent parable, a reminder to the faithful to keep their eyes fixed on the source of life and life, Jesus Christ. For those tribulation saints who had fixed their eyes on the source of light and life, that excruciating seven-year nightmare had at last come to an end. Jesus, as the enraged warrior king, had indeed returned as promised to fulfill his mission. I will destroy the strength of the Gentiles' kingdom, according to Haggai 2:22. And Nathan, that is the amazing thing, the wonderful thing about the millennium life, Nathan. Satan will be bound. No Satan during that time.
Right. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, Jesus and the armies of heaven and us, the raptured believers, the church, will all follow Jesus down. We will witness Jesus by himself, just use the sword of his mouth. In other words, his words, and just speaking, the enemies of God just fall apart. He sends the Antichrist and the false prophet to right to hell. But those who have been defeated then are sent to Hades or torments, as the Bible teaches, Sheol, another term, where they'll be held until they are resurrected at the end of the 1,000 years and then judged at the Great White Throne Judgment. And Satan is thrown in a pit. And we don't know about the rest of his demons. Either they're sent directly to hell or they're also in the pit. But I believe since it only references Satan going into the pit, then the demons are sent to hell. But again, the Bible doesn't say. But we know then that going into Christ's kingdom, where he rules and reigns from Jerusalem on this earth for 1,000 years, that there will be no more demonic influence on this earth. The demons are gone and Satan's bound in this great bottomless pit in Hades, which separates torment from what used to be paradise. And that's it. So nobody during the millennial kingdom can say, ah, Satan tempted me to do that.
Nathan, what a great point you're making. And what an amazing thing to consider that amazing fact. No temptation from demons, no temptation from death, from Satan. He will be bound. I mean, today, Nathan, we know that we attribute all of this craziness that's happening to our world because Satan is indeed alive and well and living on this earth. I think that was Hal Lindsey that wrote a book, Satan is Alive and Well.
He did,
right? And Nathan, I mean, when we look at the news, just the thing that we were talking about today, it boggles my mind when people say they don't believe in Satan. Oh, I don't believe in the devil. I don't believe in demons. And I'm thinking to myself, well, he's definitely using you right now.
I mean, if you don't believe in Satan, then who in the world tempted Jesus in the wilderness, right? Not some imaginary force or some myth or some idea. It was an actual being. We've got stories in Isaiah and Ezekiel about Satan being Lucifer in heaven, the most anointed cherub, the greatest of all God's creation. But then he was also the guardian over God's throne and possibly his worship leader. But he wanted to worship for himself. And soon his heart was corrupted, pride entered in him, and he rebelled against God. He was able to get a third of the other angels to follow him, and they were cast out of heaven. And the angels, now demons and Satan, some of them were disembodied and they're, as Jesus talked about, their spirits looking for hosts to inhabit. Others are kept for the tribulation time period, either in the pit or buried, but strangely enough, underneath the Euphrates River, and they will be released during the tribulation. But we know then that Satan is an actual being. You're absolutely right. He's a force of evil. Ephesians 6 tells us that behind all the craziness and world politics, there's a Satan's kingdom behind mankind's kingdom. And when the world seems obsessed with globalism and looking for a one world leader, that's the satanic powers pushing to eventually have the Antichrist rise and take over the world.
Excellent point, Nathan. Again, for those of you that just tuned in, you're tuned into A Truth to Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, we're talking about the millennium life and Satan's bound. Nathan, and that's an amazing thing. I mean, that's why we encourage people to continue to read through the book of Revelation and as we did the book of Ezekiel, so that they can learn more about the life in the millennium and how amazing that is, how encouraging that will be for the saints in the time of the millennium. And of course, you and I, we will be in our glorified bodies in the time of the millennium. So we will not be susceptible to this attacks anyway. But we also know, Nathan, that towards the end of the millennium, that Satan will be defeated once and for all, and that will be his end, according to Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 10.
Yes, and what we see there is that this jailer angel God calls, and it's incredible when you think about it. He's this amazing angel that comes, and he's got this great chain in his hand. I mean, not some metaphorical chain or symbolic chain, a real chain, and he ties up Satan with it, and he chucks him into this bottomless pit. He puts a seal on it so he can't escape, and for 1,000 years, and the Bible's very specific, for 1,000 years, Satan is trapped in that pit. That's his incarceration. No more demonic activity. No more Satan to tempt people during that time period. But you're right. For some reason, it also says here, but after these things, in other words, after the 1,000 years, he must be released for a little while. And then we can jump up to verse 7, and that will give us the rest of the story.
Yeah, and verse 7 and on says, now when the 1,000 years have expired, again, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out and deceive the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They were up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in that beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. What an end, right, Nate?
It's so just. I mean, when you think of how Satan, who was meant to, or when he was Lucifer, was meant to be the light bearer, to bring people to God, instead desired and lusted for the worship of God to be for himself. To think of the horrors, the torments, the trials that mankind has had to endure. You know, the lust for the sacrifice of humans through abortion and euthanasia and other things. You know, the hardships and trials, how much his hatred for us and particularly the Jewish people continues the body count to be in the billions. And he has yet to kill billions of people during the tribulation time period. And even his incarceration for 1,000 years, you know, it's like, why just 1,000 years? You know, it's due. He's finally going to be cast into hell, the lake of fire. But the question then, Vic, is many people ask is, why does the Lord release Satan for a little while at the end of the millennial kingdom?
Nathan, that is a good question. And I mean, oftentimes we don't know all of God's plan, but what God wants is for men and women to worship him from their hearts, not because they have to. And what we find there in the book, in the time of the millennium, people will be living in their natural bodies, and they're going to live like in an utopia type of system, if you will. But to show that the problem with man is a problem of their heart, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. So there will be no excuse for people to say, well, Satan tempted me. The devil made me do it. Right, Nathan?
Absolutely.
But the reality will be that the problem is sin and people's hearts, Nate.
Yeah, very, very well said. Because, you know, we got to understand how politics will work during the millennial kingdom, right? So the government will be ruled by a benevolent monarch, Jesus Christ. He will rule and reign with absolute authority. Even says he has the rod of iron, which he judges the nations. In other words, he is the absolute authority. Under him is the church. That's us. If you're saved, we will be raptured and resurrected before the tribulation, called the pre-trib rapture. And we are meant to be the government. We will rule under Jesus Christ as kings and mayors and administrators and teachers. And so you've got a perfect government. You also have a perfected world where the curse is partially lifted. And as we've been teaching in the series, the animals get along, the people get along. There's no war. There's no hunger. There's no barely any sicknesses, very little death. I mean, it's almost a perfect society. So you have a perfect government and a perfect society. What you don't have is a perfect citizenship, because the people that will be born to the tribulation saints that survive the tribulation and go through the sheep goat judgment. They're the sheep that enter into the millennial kingdom. They repopulate the world. Their children have children and grandchildren and so forth. Like you said, Vic, they have to choose Jesus or not. And sadly, as we learn, many of them near the end will choose to rebel against Jesus, and Satan is released because he's like a lightning rod. He gives us a choice. Do we choose God or do we choose evil, which is Satan? And many, tragically, it's one of the most tragic stories I think in the Bible, will follow Satan. They'll try one more time to overthrow Jerusalem. Satan and his armies will march up to Jerusalem. Jesus doesn't have a flood or a fire, tribulation fires or judgments. He just sends down fire, annihilates the enemies, burns them up, and throws Satan into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. That's the end. And so the Lord then gets, you got to think of like farming. Every generation is a new crop of people who choose to be with God. And so in the end, when we get to the eternal state, heaven is filled with people who actually want to be there. And that's what God is aiming for.
Nick, that is fantastic. You know, today someone might be tuned into this program and they say, oh, I can't believe it. How can people be so dumb? How can they be so gullible? I would never do anything like that. Knowing better, I would never worship Satan. But yet, Nathan, even today, right, we see that even while we're doing this program and we're letting people know the realities of things, still many choose to follow his paths. So I believe, Nathan, the sin is that key that deceives, and we have to be so careful. And we believe that if someone doesn't have the covering, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that they are susceptible to all these attacks. And that can only be accomplished through our relationship with Jesus Christ, right, Nate? And that's why you and I will always tell people that is the empowerment that everyone needs, is the baptism of his Spirit and Jesus dwelling in you, because it's a great deception.
Absolutely. You know, people think that if they don't choose Jesus, and they don't choose something else, that they're in some kind of safe middle ground. But the Bible teaches that we're all born destined to hell because we're all sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And if that's the case, then all of us who aren't saved are Satan worshipers because we're believing a lie. We choose to believe the lie. You know, we want to work our own way up to heaven. And so we choose Hinduism or Buddhism or Jainism or Taoism or Islam or secular humanism, whatever ism you want to throw at it, it's not the truth. It's a lie. And who's the author of lies? Satan is. And so what are people following? Satanism. So whether people are in an actual coven of witches, you know, worshiping Satan, or they're just like, I'm not interested. I don't have any reason for God. They're all in the end Satan worshipers, and they don't even realize it. And that's a tragedy of sin. It blinds us to that truth.
Well said, Nathan. And of course, maybe the Lord has been speaking to your heart and you've come to recognize, wow, I have been deceived in some way. I don't really know God. And if that's you and you're at a place right now where you want to change, you're at a place where you want to repent, you're at a place where you want God's power so that your spiritual eyes will be open to you. We're going to give you an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work out that miracle in your life, even right now, wherever you are. And if you open your heart to the Lord, great things are going to happen. And if the rapture occurs during our time, which we believe it will or it might, you will be rescued and you will be in heaven with all of us. So Nathan, maybe there's someone out there who's heart is open and they've come to realize through this program, wow, this is heavy stuff. I don't want to be caught in the middle of this. I want to escape from this. Will you be able to share with them, Nathan, how they can, even right now from wherever they are, choose that path?
Well, John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't do enough good things because our righteousness has to be perfect. In other words, the sin that separates us from God is what causes us not to see the Father anymore. Our sin separates us, and you have to be perfect in order to stand before a perfect and holy being. We can't do that on our own, and that's why God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, perfection, to die in our place. And so when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, The punishment for our sins goes on to Jesus on the cross, and then our sins are covered by his blood, and we can then stand before God, justified, sanctified, and even glorified. There's some big terms there. And the way to do that is to surrender your life to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. Reach out, dear Lord Jesus, pray from your heart. Dear Lord, I am a sinner. I've been living in rebellion against you. Please forgive me of my sins. I love you and I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. When you reach out to Jesus Christ, he will forgive you of your sins. Your guilt will be washed away and you will inherit eternal life with him. You will become a citizen of the kingdom.
Whoa, thank you so much, Nathan. Wow, what a wonderful news. And I'm sure someone out there who just prayed that prayer has felt the relief in their hearts and in their minds as the Holy Spirit has moved position from being with them to being inside of them. And Nathan and I want to say congratulations to you, whoever you might be, that just turned to the Lord. There's a celebration in heaven for every person that repents, and God has granted you eternal life. And as a gift to you, Nathan and I would love to give you a Bible and a Bible study guide so that you can grow in your relationship with the Lord. You can reach out to us by calling us or texting 305-992-9537 or writing to Nathan at webministeralamblion.com. We would love to just rejoice with you and help you to continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord. And if we also encourage you, find a wonderful Bible teaching church, be part of it, get baptized, and grow in the things of the Lord. And Nathan, that is the wonderful news, right, about what we're doing here, is that people will be able to experience that joy and that peace that God gives them for eternity.
Absolutely. I mean, that's all of life is. It boils down to a great decision to choose Jesus or not. To choose Jesus means eternal life, free from sin, glorified bodies, the loving relationship with our Heavenly Father and Creator. To reject him is to die in our sins, to be sentenced, which we'll talk about more about the Great White Throne Judgment in our next episode. But it means eternal separation from God, separation from life, basically eternal death. And so this decision is, you know, the most important decision that you can make for all of eternity. And that's why, Vic, it's such a shame that so many are like, eh, not important. It is the most important decision you can ever make. Your eternal fate depends on it.
Oh, and that is so true. And that's why we're so glad for those that have turned and turned to the Lord. And as we continue doing more of these programs, we hope that you can stay tuned to them and grow in your relationship with the Lord. Well, we ran out of time for this segment of our program. We thank you all for being part of the program. Nathan and I want to thank you, and we'll continue to keep you in prayer. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones saying goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a great week.
Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.